Let us hear the word of God tonight, and we turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth this evening, and we read from the third chapter, chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." And she said unto her, "All that thou sayest unto me I will do." And she went down onto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bid her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself. And, behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another, and he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley give he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Amen. Our Father, we ask a blessing on this reading from thy holy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to cause you to look tonight at verse 9. Of Ruth chapter 3, he said, that is, Boaz said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." If you have a margin, it may say, "Thou art one that hath right to redeem." I want to consider with you tonight the subject, seeking the Redeemer's covering. Seeking the Redeemer's covering, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art one who hath a right to redeem. Let us paint this scene, or endeavour to picture it, before we get into the meat of our text. It is the threshing floor outside the town of Bethlehem, the little city. It is midnight. It is dark in the threshing floor. And at the end of the threshed corn, Boaz lies and sleeps. Boaz, who is noble, Boaz, who is wealthy, he lies to guard his corn at the night and in the dark. And a young widow, Ruth the Moabitess, she lies at his feet, those feet which she has just uncovered. She has just exposed them. She's pulled back his blanket. She's exposed his feet so that the cold air will hit them and he will quickly wake. And there she lies, waiting, quietly, patiently waiting, and no doubt praying as well. Praying to the God of Israel to grant her a happy outcome of her mission this night. Suddenly, Boaz awakes, as she anticipated, by the coolness of the air upon his feet. He senses his feet uncovered. He senses a presence at his feet. His first instinct is fear, and he says, "Who art thou?" He knows it is a woman, because thou is feminine in the original. He knows it is a woman, and he says, "Who are you?" And the woman gives the reply. She identifies herself, "I am Ruth." And then she makes this admission of submission. She says, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid." Then she makes this request, "Spread your skirt over me." And then she presents her argument, "For thou art a near kinsman." You're probably asking, what is she doing? Well, let me put it as simply as I can. She is doing what normally unmarried women do not do. She is doing what in Israel unmarried women should not do. She is requesting marriage. She is proposing. She is saying to the man, "Marry me. Put me under your covering. Bring me into your life and into your home." And normally a woman can't do that in Israel. A virgin cannot propose to a man. But this is a widow. And this woman is a childless widow. The woman's first husband is dead. He is dead to her and she is dead to him. And of that union there was no fruit. And she can do this. She can come to the kinsman, the Goel. She can propose marriage, so that she can raise up seed in the name of her deceased husband. And so she says, "Marry me. Do the part of a kinsman redeemer to me." And so Ruth can plead the word of God for what she does this night. And she can make this proposal, and she does. At midnight, when she's alone, she does it like this, because he may turn her down. And she does not want to embarrass him. So she does it quietly. secretly, when nobody can see and when nobody will know what she's about. But this is not in the Bible, men and women, to cause us to think merely about ancient marriage customs. This is in the Bible for another reason. It is given to reveal to us salvation. It is given to show to us something of the glory of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, the one who brings sinners into union with himself. That's why it's in the book. So Ruth seeks the covering of Boaz, a covering symbolized by a skirt. She's seeking the covering in marriage, and that symbolizes what sinners should seek in Jesus Christ. A covering for them. And so you, sinner, must be like Ruth. You and I must become Ruth in order to be saved. The sinner has to come to the very place that Ruth came to. She has to come, and we have to come, to make the very same place, the very same plea, the very same prayer to our kinsman redeemer Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, where this scene takes place. You, sinner, as I do, have to come under the wing of Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer. It's midnight. Yes, it's dark. It's very dark. But Ruth has found, even in the darkness, she has found the right place. She has come to the right person, and she lays at the right position at his feet. And that's what we have to do in our darkness. In the darkness of our sin, we have to get to the very same place. In the darkness of our night, we have to come to the feet of the Redeemer in order to be saved. And so she comes, and the Holy Spirit records it, and I want to consider it with you tonight and look upon it as a picture of the faith that takes hold of Christ and embraces the Redeemer. The first thing she says is, I am Ruth. I am Ruth. Boaz has asked her who she is, and she tells him she's honest. She's honest and to the point. She doesn't pretend to be someone else. She's not so foolish as to endeavor to pull the wool over his eyes and pretend to be someone else. She's a foreigner. She's a Moabitess. That's difficult for her. She belongs to a people that are far off, but still she must be honest. And she comes, and he asks who it is. He says, yes, it's me. It's Ruth. It's Ruth the Moabitess. She doesn't deceive him. She doesn't pretend to be someone else. And when you come to Jesus, you must come as you are. And you must know who you are. And you must know what you are. And you cannot conceal it from Jesus Christ. Nor must you try. I am Ruth. The sinner has to be honest with the Lord. He requires truth in the inward parts. And if a man is to be saved, he must be honest with himself, and he must be honest with the Lord. Ruth knows herself. Ruth confesses herself, and Ruth owns herself, and the sinner has to do that as well. As soon as she says, I am Ruth, she says, yes, that's me. I'm the Moabitess. I'm the foreigner. And whenever we come to Jesus, we have to say, I am the sinner. I am the sinner. I am the chief of sinners. Do you remember the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee didn't know himself. All he talked about was what he did. I give tithes of this, I do the other, I fast, I pray, so on and so forth. All he talked about was what he did. Jesus does not want to know what you did. He does not want to hear what you do. He wants you to confess what you are. I am Ruth. I am the sinner. The publican was different. He didn't say anything about what he did. He beat upon his breast. He said, God be merciful to me. And what are you, publican? Me, the sinner. And the definite article is there in the original. He's the sinner, as if he was the only sinner in all the world. He says, I am the sinner. I'm the sinner. I am Ruth. And that's the first thing you have to do, sinner. Jesus doesn't want to hear what you do. You're not saved by works. You're the sinner, and you need redemption. And you have to confess who you are and what you are. The second thing is the spirit of submission that she manifests. I am Ruth. And then she says, thine handmaid. The word is often applied to female slaves. A maid servant or a bond servant. And Ruth is neither of those to Boaz. She lives with her mother-in-law. She has worked for Boaz. But she is not his bond slave, but now she expresses her submission. She brings herself and offers herself into bondage to the Redeemer. I'm your handmaid. I am submissive at your feet. I am willing to come under your authority. I want to be under the power of your words. She has become as a little child, and Jesus says, except you become as a little child, you cannot be converted. There has to be submission. And so it is an expression of her humility. A humility that also has the idea of submission to the will of another, in this case, Boaz. Ruth wants to make a new beginning. She wants a new life. And she wants that new life to be under the authority of the Redeemer. And sinner, if you want a new life, it's going to have to be a new life under the authority of Jesus Christ. You have to receive him not only as Savior, but as Lord. As ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. And so she recognizes his authority. She recognizes that she cannot be under his covering unless she is also under his authority. And she wants that. She wants that. She realizes that she cannot have a Redeemer without also having a Lord. If you want to have Jesus, you have to also want to have His Word. His Word. His will. His authority. The proud, stubborn, selfish will of the sinner must be broken and subdued at Christ's feet. He will spread that skirt over the sinner, but it will only be over the sinner who has humbled himself. His feet. That's how you must come to Jesus, as a humble sinner. You must come to the Lord Jesus. He is a Prince and a Savior. Bless His name. And we are glad He is our Lord. And we follow Him as we believe in Him and trust Him and love Him. And you, sinner, must do that too. Then there is this beautiful request. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid. I'm your handmaid. I'm lying at your feet. I take you as my Lord. Spread therefore your covering over me. It's a beautiful request. There is nothing here, men and women, of immoral request. There's nothing here of impurity. She is requesting marriage under this symbol. The Jews for generations have carried out a custom at marriages. They still may do, I suppose. In many traditional Jewish marriages, the man would take a cloak, and with his cloak he would cover his wife with it under his arm. That's the symbol that he is marrying her. He is taking her under his wing to love, to cherish, to keep, to be joined to forever. Or until death doth part. It is a beautiful imagery. It is what Jesus will do for you, sinner. It is wonderful. This is what you can have in Christ and with Christ. If you fall at His feet and come to Him and believe in Him, you can know the covering of His skirt. This beautiful image God Himself depicts and adapts in the imagery of salvation in the Bible. I turn you to one place, Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16 and the verse 8. You know the story of the wretched cast out infant. Cast out straight from the womb. As an apparent stillborn, cast out, unwashed, left, neglected. And we read there in verse 8, I passed by thee. This is the Lord. I looked upon thee. What a beautiful text this is. I passed by you. I didn't go on, but I looked upon you. Behold, thy time was the time of love. Oh, what a beautiful verse. And God says, I spread my skirt over you and I covered your nakedness. That's what God did to His people, who He redeems. You're naked,
You're dead. You're unclean. You're cast out. You're filthy. You're a vile. You're rejected. But I came by and I found you and I put my skirt over you and I covered your nakedness. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus did at the cross. That's what Jesus did when he came into the world. Oh, she wants to be in that position under his skirt. Now, this is beautiful imagery, and a lot might be said about that. I draw your attention to the word spread. Spread your skirt. Open fully. Just open up your cloak and cover me all. Put me under it. That's the first act of the Jewish marriage. It's the precursor to everything that is to follow if this is done. Everything in the marriage covenant is sure to follow once the groom does that. The Lord alludes to this. The word sometimes is the idea, the imagery is the imagery of a wing as well, the bird's wing, and sometimes it's passed to that imagery, and we may point that out in a moment. But you remember how the Lord Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee under my wings? I would have spread my wings over you. I would have covered you. How often I would have done it too," he says. "But you would not." Well, what does this mean then for Ruth? What is Ruth actually asking here? If I could be more specific, in marriage, what is she actually asking? Well, she's saying many things, but two of the things I draw your attention to, one of the things she's saying is, "Protect me from my poverty. Save me from my creditors. Take all my legal responsibilities. Take all my failings. Take all my debts." Ruth is poor. She has to go out and work in the field. And we are poor sinners. We have nothing. We've only got debt, the debt of sin. The law of God is at our heels and justice pursues us. We are hopeless. We are poor and needy. And we fly to Jesus Christ and we say, "Lord, cover us. Hide us from our creditors. Pay all our debts. Let your riches make up for my poverty and poorness." And that's what Jesus Christ is. He is the one who takes all our debts. Isn't that what the gospel teaches? Who his own self bore our sins on his body to the tree. He carried our debts. He carried our sins. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. That's what happens when you come under his wing. All your debts are paid. Everything is accounted for. The poverty of your sinfulness is dealt with by his grace under his wing. And then we draw from those riches. We partake of his fullness. Boaz is a wealthy man, the earlier part of the book tells us. She wants him. Not just for his money, of course, but she wants him. And she knows that that's all going to come with him. Oh, the riches of Christ's grace. Oh, the fullness of what is in him. Would you not want to come under his garments? Would you not want to come into his riches? What a place it is under the wing of Jesus. Do you not see how poor you are, sinner? How needy? How bankrupt? Do you not know you're on the way to hell?
Do you not know you're in danger? Do you not know that the creditors, that the divine justice is going to come to you soon and say, pay up, pay up? And you're going to have to say, I have nothing to pay up with. And the justice of God is going to have to say, go into prison, go into hell until you pay up. And you will never be able to pay up forever and ever, because you know what you will do in hell? You will sin more and more, and you will blaspheme more and more. And you will never pay your debt. You will make it even greater. That's why hell is forever.
But under the skirt of Jesus Christ, there is no hell. No hell. There is only Him. Him and His marvelous grace. The final word is a holy and reverent argument. This is a bold request, you see. She's Ruth the Moabitess. She comes into His presence. She says, cover me with your skirt. It's a very bold request. Very bold. But you see, she has a bold reason. And she says, for thou art a near kinsman to me. Thou art a goel. Thou art one who has the right to redeem me. You can redeem me. It's a bold request. Now notice what she doesn't say. She doesn't say, for thou art my kinsman redeemer. She doesn't say that. She says, thou art a near kinsman. She is not yet assured that he is hers. She has not yet assurance of that. She can't say my. But she's coming. She's coming to lie at his feet. She's proposing. She's arguing. She's pleading the word. She's pleading the promises. She's trusting him. And sinner, that's what you have to do. You cannot as yet say he's my redeemer. But you can say he is our redeemer. He became man and he died on the cross for sins. And you can come to him and you can make the plea, you're a redeemer. Put me under your garment. Put me under your skirt. Redeem me. Redeem me. You can pray. You can seek. Are you seeking? Do you even want him? Do you want this heavenly Boaz? No. You want the world. You want your sins. You want your pleasures. You need him. You need him. And so you can say you're a kinsman. Dear Lord Jesus, you became man. You died on the cross. You're wealthy, you're gracious, you're kind, you're mighty, you have given promises, you have called me in the gospel, and I come to you, take me in and put me under your skirt. Take me in. Have you ever prayed that? That's saving faith. Sinner, he will take you in. He will give you the seal and the witness of the Spirit. And you'll be able soon to say, I will sing of my Redeemer. My Redeemer. That's the difference between our Redeemer and my Redeemer. When he takes you in. When he spreads his skirts, it's very personal. It's mine. Is he yours?
is he yours? Imitate Ruth. Enter into your own drama. In the darkness of your night, imitate Ruth and come to the Redeemer's feet. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee for a Redeemer. A blessed, blessed Redeemer he is too, in Jesus Christ. Even Job of old knew of him when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And we are able to say the same again tonight. He lives. And we pray, Lord, that your people will be so blessed and comforted and assured and strengthened in their faith by this gospel message. And by means of it, thy mighty Holy Spirit will work in the unconverted and cause them in their darkness to fly to the feet of Jesus Christ. So bless the gospel preached to your people and to sinners. And may that glorious name of Jesus be exalted. And may that Redeemer have preeminence tonight in this house. And may his grace be with us always. In his holy name we pray. Amen.